Good day out there, everybody. Thanks for choosing the podcast Then and Now. I'm your host, John Shomo. This is episode 20. Seems like only yesterday. It's episode 20 of our weekly podcast, Then and Now, where we will look at birthdays and anniversaries for this week. We will look at some current events. We will delve into three good questions that were sent in by listeners. Speaking of which, and again, the email address for that is threegoodquestions, T-H-R-E-E, goodquestions@gmail.com. I have an idea that a lot of you, and this is fine if you want to do it, think that you have to send in three questions to get them on. If you have one good question, send it in. If you have two, send them in. If you have three, obviously, also. I don't want anybody out there to think that if you don't have three questions, you can't send a good question in. Any good question will do. It livens up the podcast for sure. Love hearing from all of you. And let's get those questions in. One, two, or three, or more. Doesn't matter. Send them in to threegoodquestions@gmail.com. All right, let's get started with our weekly look at anniversaries and birthdays. Starting with July 10th, Wednesday this year, July 10th. We had no real events that I wanted to highlight, so let's get right to a few birthdays. The great TV journalist David Brinkley, who was on both NBC and ABC for a long time. David Brinkley, born July 10th, 1920. We miss people like him. I've always referenced Walter Cronkite. He was certainly a peer and a great television journalist as well. Arthur Ashe, born on July 10th, 1943. We lost him way too soon at about the age of 50. He's the tennis star, Wimbledon champion, first Black American to win at Wimbledon. He was killed, really, by he had a bad heart in his late 40s, had a operation, and the blood that he was given in the blood transfusion was tainted with AIDS, HIV. And he died of that in about 1992 or 93, very tragically. He was a great tennis player, but also a great humanitarian, stood up for social issues. What a great loss that was. The Hall of Fame outfielder, Andre Dawson, Montreal Expos, Cubs, mostly. Andre Dawson will be 70 on July 10th. Sofia Vergara, the actress, will be 52. Happy birthday to her. And the former head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Urban Meyer, will turn 60 on July 10th. Happy birthday to Coach Meyer. Moving to July 11th, one event and one birthday, a very notable event. July 11th, 1804, on the Jersey side of the Hudson River, in a duel, Aaron Burr shot Alexander Hamilton, very famously, mortally wounding him. Burr would then flee to the West and try to start a new country out West and be tried for treason eventually. But the Burr-Hamilton duel was July 11th, 1804. Those of you who have seen Hamilton, you certainly have an idea about that. Okay, the birthday for July 11th is the sixth president of the United States, John Quincy Adams, born on July 11th, 1767. On July 12th, as I mentioned before, Hamilton died of his wounds from the previous day's duel. The Rolling Stones' first live performance, this blows my mind. The Rolling Stones' first live performance was at the Marquee Club in London on July 12th, 1962. Here we are in 2024, and the Stones are just gallivanting all around the United States doing sold-out stadium concerts 62 years later. It's unbelievable. Hats off to them for longevity and what a catalog of songs they have put together. One of the greats. On July 12th, 1979, we talked previously in June about the 10-cent beer night and what a disaster it was in Cleveland in 1974. Well, 5 years later, they had an equally bad idea at the Chicago White Sox Old Comiskey Park. It was called Disco Demolition Night. In between games of a doubleheader between the Tigers and the White Sox, a local DJ there in Chicago urged people to take their disco records, and they piled them up in a big heap in the middle of center field and were going to light them all on fire. Well, when the explosions started to happen, the people started going crazy in the crowd. They had probably had a few too many old styles in the first game. Started running around, climbing up the foul poles. It was a disaster. The White Sox had to forfeit the second game of the doubleheader to the Tigers, and it was their equivalent of 10-cent beer night, disco demolition night. Not that I don't agree with the sentiment musically, but it was just a bad idea. Some birthdays from July 12th. The last quarterback to lead the Cleveland Browns to the NFL title, the late Dr. Frank Ryan, just passed away last year, I think. Dr. Frank Ryan, born on July 12, 1936. His doctorate was in mathematics from Rice University. He threw three touchdown passes in the championship game to Gary Collins as the Browns defeated the Baltimore Colts 27 to nothing, December 27, 1964. Bill Cosby, 87 years old on July 12th, still in prison. Enough said. Christine McVie, we lost her a year or two ago too. The wonderful voice, one of the wonderful voices of the group Fleetwood Mac. Just some tremendously memorable songs from her. Christine McVie was born on July 12, 1943, as was the late Paul Silas, LeBron's first NBA coach, if you recall, with the Cavaliers when he came aboard in 2003-04. Paul Silas was a terrific player. He played for a world championship Boston Celtics team in 1976. He was a power forward, not much of a scorer, but a heck of a defender and a tremendous rebounder. Paul Silas. July 13th, the anniversary of a great record release on RCA Records, July 13th, 1956. Elvis Presley released the A side was Hound Dog, the B side was Don't Be Cruel. I think those were both pretty good, don't you? On July 13th, 1960, the Democrats at their convention in Los Angeles nominated young Senator John F. Kennedy from Massachusetts as their presidential nominee. More about the nominating process a little bit later here. Harrison Ford will turn 82 on July 13th. Tony Kornheiser, one of the guys on PTI on ESPN 5:30 weekdays, Tony Kornheiser will be 76. David Thompson, one of the great college basketball players of all time at North Carolina State, had a good pro career, not as good as it could have been. David Thompson will turn 70 on July 13th. He was wildly talented in college, led the Wolfpack to an NCAA championship. And the recently retired, soon to be, hopefully in about 4 years, Hall of Fame catcher, Yadier Molina of the St. Louis Cardinals. Yadier Molina, maybe the best defensive catcher I've ever seen, will be 42 on July 13th. July 14th will be celebrated in France as Bastille Day. Goes back to the storming of the Bastille on July 14th, 1789. The United States Treasury in 1969 on July 14th withdrew the following denominations of paper money from circulation: the $500 bill, the $1,000 bill, the $5,000 bill, and a $10,000 bill, which actually they had in circulation, not that you found very many of them, until July 14th, 1969, when the Treasury withdrew those all from circulation. Birthdays, July 14th. Former President of the United States, Gerald R. Ford, born July 14th, 1913. I spoke on a previous podcast about touring the Gerald Ford Presidential Museum and Library in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Again, I will highly recommend that if you're ever in that area. It was a pleasant surprise, one of the best that I've ever been to. Also celebrating a birthday, July 14th, former Brush High School Arc and Kent State Golden Flash, Steve Stone will be, let's see, 77 years old. He doesn't look it. He's still doing White Sox TV games. This year might be aging him a little bit more than usual. He pitched for the White Sox, pitched for the Giants, pitched for the Orioles, won a Cy Young Award with the Baltimore Orioles in 1980. Happy birthday to Steve Stone, Cleveland guy. July 15th, three birthdays to mention. Rembrandt, born July 15th, 1606. Former Ohio governor, former senator from Ohio, former mayor of Cleveland, George Voinovich, born July 15th, 1936. He was very instrumental as the mayor of Cleveland in getting the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to be built in Cleveland, Ohio. And speaking of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, happy 78th birthday on July 15th to Linda Ronstadt. Saw her live a couple of times back in the day at Blossom. Was tremendous. What a tremendous voice. She's had a lot of health problems lately. They are doing a biopic, I think, on her life and career. I'll be interested to see that when it comes out. Happy birthday, Linda. July 16th. A lot of stuff here. Wow, I'd say a lot of stuff. Let's go one by one. July 16th, 1945. The first detonation of an atomic bomb took place, not in Japan, in Alamogordo, New Mexico, as the United States successfully tested the first bomb. They were used, the next two bombs, the only other two bombs we had, were used in August on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The first ever baseball game, the first athletic event at Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh, was played on July 16, 1970. The Reds nipped the Pirates 3-2 in the first game. Two really good teams in 1970. They would match up in the NLCS that year. The Republicans nominated Ronald Reagan, the former governor of California, as their nominee for president on July 16, 1980, in Detroit. That was successful. It's a real tragic event, July 16, 1999. John F. Kennedy Jr., John, his wife, and his sister-in-law all died in a plane crash off of Martha's Vineyard. JFK Jr. was piloting the plane. They were going out to one of his cousins, one of Bobby's children's weddings, out on Martha's Vineyard when the plane crashed. It's just so sad. Max McGee was born on July 16th, 1932. Those of us of a certain age remember Max McGee as number 85 wide receiver on those great Green Bay Packer teams. Max McGee scored the first touchdown in the history of the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl game in January of 1967. He actually caught, I think, two touchdown passes in that game. It's a legendary story. He didn't think he was going to play. He was going to be coming off the bench. He stayed out till like 6 in the morning, gallivanting around Los Angeles. Was pretty foggy on the sideline. Boyd Dowler got hurt in the first quarter, and McGee went in the game and never showed any effects of his long night out and scored the first touchdown in Super Bowl history. The Packers beat the Chiefs 35-10. Two birthdays, two other birthdays on July 16th. Jimmy Johnson, longtime football coach, most famously with Miami of Florida and the Dallas Cowboys, played on a national championship team in 1964 for Arkansas. Jimmy Johnson will be 81. And comedian actor Will Ferrell will be 57 on July 16th. A couple more here as we're doing them. Barry Sanders, the Hall of Fame running back, Oklahoma State, Heisman Trophy, Hall of Fame. Barry Sanders will be 56. Former congressman from our district here, Tim Ryan, will be 51. And the 2013 Masters champion, Adam Scott, will be 44 on July 16th. Okay, there we have it for the week. There are birthdays and anniversaries. Again, full boat there. We'll have more next week. Okay, on we go. Here we are again. Looking at some issues that are currently floating around our nation here. One, we'll start with some fun stuff. We're about at the midpoint of the Major League Baseball season. We'll handle the two teams that I follow the most. The Guardians are looking good. Can the starting pitching hold up for another 75 or so games? The Minnesota Twins are starting to climb. They're only, as I record this, 5 games behind Cleveland as we approach the All-Star break. Can the pitching hold up? Are they going to score enough runs to stay there in first place and win the division? It would be really important for them to get one of the two byes in the first round so they don't have to play one of those 2 out of 3 series. And maybe they can set their pitching up for the following series, for the division series. Our Pirates, meanwhile, as I record this, are 43-47. They're interesting this year. They'll also need a little bit more pitching depth. They've got a couple of pitching starters and relievers on the injured reserve right now. Skeens, Jones, and Cruz. They're very promising players. Brian Reynolds is an all-star, along with Paul Skeens, the dynamic rookie pitcher. They're interesting to follow. They're not out of it yet for a wild card spot, in spite of being a few games under 500. We'll see how they do. If they can progress and get their nose in there and get in the playoffs, that would be awesome. The trade deadline is coming up July 31st. What will these two teams do? Cleveland and Pittsburgh, are they going to be active? Are the Guardians going to look for a pitcher? They certainly have some depth in the minor leagues they could trade from. Pirates might be looking to add somebody. I think, as a longtime Pirates fan, I'll believe it when I see it. But hopefully, they can maybe add on and make a push for the playoffs. That would sure be fun to follow this fall. While we're on the subject of sports, a couple more things. Tough news this morning for those of us who are longtime Cleveland Browns fans. Bernie Kosar has reported that A, he needs a kidney transplant, and B, he's showing some very early signs of Parkinson's disease. All the best to Bernie, local guy, Boardman High School, played so well for the Browns. They were so close to the Super Bowl when he played. Just a great guy from everybody who's ever been in contact with him that I've heard. He's a great guy, as good as you'd like him to be. Tough news. Bernie, fight on, man. We're with you. One more note on the sports thing before we get into politics. For those of you who are in our college football pool, I just wanted to make an announcement here that the rollout of this season's invitation should be this coming Thursday, July 11th. Maybe that has already happened as you listen to this, but be alert, those of you in the college football pool. Okay. On to politics, and this kind of stuff is driving me crazy here a little bit. My message to both President Biden and the Democrats: enough already. Stand on your record. I think Biden is certainly trying to do that. Highlight your record. You've had a very successful term. You've gotten a lot done. Run on it. Don't dabble in all of this other stuff. There's a historic parallel, as there usually is, to where we are right now. I would say it's Eisenhower in 1955 and 56. President Eisenhower had a major heart attack in September of 1955, just after playing a round of golf at Cherry Hills in Denver. He was 65 at the time. 65 then kind of translates to 75 now, or so they say. Anyway, he had a long period of recuperation. He recovered. 1956, the following year, was an election year. He ran for re-election against the same guy he beat 4 years earlier. Does that sound familiar? And Eisenhower won comfortably, running on his record and who he was. Okay? So, my message to President Biden, who I think is already doing this, and the Democrats, a few of whom are little nervous Nellies: stand on your record, run on your record. You've got a good record. If Biden has to run a traditional Rose Garden campaign where he doesn't go out and campaign much, campaigns from the White House highlighting his accomplishments, then so be it. He won't be the first guy ever to do that, that's for sure. Now, as for the media, I'm getting crazy here, okay? They've been nonstop for 2 weeks here about President Biden's health and so forth. He's released his medical records. He has admitted he had a bad night. He did. There's no question about it at the debate. He's been better since. Why doesn't the media ask the other guy if he should drop out of the race? Here's a comparison for you, okay? Just saying. One guy is old, 81 years old. The other guy is old, 78. He's a 34 times convicted felon. He's been held responsible by a jury of his peers of a sexual assault, and he's been implicated in a sordid sex scandal involving Jeffrey Epstein. Those records have just been made public, and they're disgusting. Why are none of the media asking if that guy should drop out of the race instead of the other guy? I know it's not a perfect world, but it's driving me a little batty right now, just saying. Okay. That's our topics for this week. I think I've done enough there. Let's go on to three good questions. And again, I want to make the clarification about the three good questions segment. You can send in one if you've got one, two if you've got two, as many as you like, but you don't have to come up with all three good questions. This week we did have somebody come up with three good questions. That's Jeff Cole. Question number one. Who was the most important person in US history? Not easy at all, but I always, when I roll that around in my head, I always come up with the same answer: the indispensable man, George Washington. I just That none of that happens without him being the commander of the Continental Army. He set the standard for the presidency, which was an office newly created in the world. He had nobody to look at for guidance on that, and did a doggone good job of setting the standards and setting the precedent for the presidency. So I'll pick George Washington of Virginia on that one. Question number two. What was the closest to election day a leading candidate dropped out of the presidential race? That's a good question. My thought went to Lyndon Johnson, who was the sitting president in 1968. He was the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party. And on March 31st of that year, at the end of a speech on television about Vietnam, he announced, very surprisingly, that he would not seek re-election in that year's election. That's the end of March of the election year. Lots of nominations in the past have gone down to the conventions and have been decided by the delegates at the conventions. That hasn't happened for a long time. Closest we've come to that in any modern history was the 1976 Republican convention in Kansas City, where the aforementioned Gerald Ford narrowly defeated Governor Reagan of California for the 1976 Republican nomination. I do remember Ted Kennedy putting up a fight against the incumbent President Jimmy Carter 4 years later at the Democratic convention. But it's been a while. I'll go with LBJ, March 31st, 1968, on that one. All right, the third question this week. Here is the setup for it. The year is 2050, and you are doing a then and now episode looking back at Cleveland sports championships over the last 25 years. A, that's very hopeful, Jeff. I'm not sure there's one on the horizon. There could be. Now, his question is this, however. How many titles are you discussing and about which teams? In other words, from now until 2050, how many titles in Cleveland professional sports would we be talking about on Then and Now, the 2050 edition? Here's my guess. At some point, we're going to get a Browns championship. We will have one of those. Okay, I'm a believer. The Cavaliers, maybe not. I'm not so much of a believer there. I think they've won one, and that's going to be that way for a long time. The Guardians, I'm going to be optimistic. They seem to have an idea of what to do. The foundation of the franchise is solid. They've survived, surprisingly to me, the retirement of their greatest manager ever, Terry Francona. Vogt is doing a fantastic job. Their farm system is pretty deep. They seem to draft really well. I'm going to give the Guardians two World Series championships between now and 2050. And that would be fun to see. I have not seen one in my life, nor have most of you. The last Cleveland Guardians Indians World Championship was 1948. So we'll go Browns one, Cavaliers donut, and Guardians two. Hopefully, we can throw in some Ohio State Buckeyes national championships in there as well on the college scene. Okay, thank you, Jeff, for those three good questions. Again, if you have a question, please send it in to 3THREE good questions at gmail.com. That ought to do it for this week, middle of July. It's getting hot out there. Hopefully, the hurricane doesn't do too much damage up north here as it approaches, as we record this. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for choosing us out there in the podcastosphere. You can get us on Spotify as always. I'm John Shomo. This has been episode 20 of Then and Now. Have a great week, everybody.